This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use a conversation pre-mortem to prepare better icebreakers. Stop guessing and start preparing icebreakers that actually open people up. In short, icebreakers fail when you choose a question without thinking about the specific group you're walking into. A conversation pre-mortem fixes that by making you imagine the worst before it happens, so you prepare for the room you will actually face, not the ideal one. Anticipate what could go wrong with your opener before the meeting starts. Prepare a primary icebreaker and at least one fallback question in advance. Rehearse your delivery so you project confidence when the moment comes. Definition: a conversation pre-mortem is a preparation exercise where you imagine your icebreaker has already failed, then work backwards to identify the cause. You use those findings to sharpen your question, prepare fallbacks, and enter the room with a clear, confident plan instead of a hopeful guess. There is a particular kind of silence that every facilitator knows. You ask your opening question. You smile. You wait. And the room just sits there, flat and uncomfortable, like a fire that will not catch. I have been on both sides of that silence more times than I care to count. And for years I thought the problem was the question itself. Choose a better question, I told myself. Be more creative. Be warmer. The real problem was never the question. It was that I had not thought carefully enough about the people I was asking it to. I had grabbed an icebreaker that worked last time and dropped it into a completely different room without preparing for what that specific group might need, resist, or fear. This is where the conversation pre-mortem comes in. And Say It Right Every Time, I describe the pre-mortem as a preparation tool you use before any high-stakes conversation to anticipate failure and plan around it. In Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time, I outline exactly how it works. The same process applies directly to icebreakers, and it is the most practical thing I can offer you here. Why getting icebreakers right is harder than it looks. The surface problem seems simple. You need a warm-up question. You find one online, or you remember one that worked before, and you use it. That is how most people approach it. But icebreakers carry more weight than people give them credit for. The opening question sets the social temperature for everything that follows. If it lands well, the room relaxes, people feel seen, and the conversation that follows flows more naturally. If it falls flat, you spend the rest of the meeting trying to claw back energy that was never fully there. The difficulty is that you are trying to hit a moving target. Every group is different. A question that opened up your marketing team on Tuesday might freeze your finance team on Thursday. A prompt that works beautifully in person can die in total silence on a video call. The same person who answered your icebreaker warmly in a small group of four will shut down in a room of 20. There is no universal icebreaker. There's only the right icebreaker for this group, on this day, in this situation. The conversation pre-mortem forces you to think about that specific group before you arrive. That is its real value. For more on how effective icebreakers for team meetings work in practice, that article is worth reading alongside this one. What you need before you start the pre-mortem. Before you run through the pre-mortem steps, two things need to be in place. First, you need basic information about your group. Who will be in the room? Are they colleagues who know each other well, or strangers? Are there power dynamics at play, a senior leader in the mix, or someone who recently had a difficult experience with the team? You do not need a full psychological profile. You need enough to know whether the room is likely to be warm, guarded, resistant, or tired. Second, you need a quiet 10 to 15 minutes before the meeting. The pre-mortem does not work in the car park 30 seconds before you walk in. It is a preparation ritual, and it requires a small amount of focus time. If the meeting is high stakes, a large group, or involves people who do not know each other well, give yourself closer to 30 minutes. You are not over-preparing. You are replacing a guess with a plan. The pre-mortem process. 6 steps to a stronger icebreaker. Here is the sequence I teach and Say It Right Every Time. Work through each step in order. Do not skip ahead to writing your question before you finish the earlier steps. Number 1. Picture the moment of failure. Close your eyes if it helps. Imagine you've just asked your icebreaker and the room has gone flat. There is silence, or discomfort, or a few polite non-answers, and then nothing. Hold that image. Now ask yourself what caused it. Not in general terms, but specifically. Was the question too personal? too abstract? Did it put someone on the spot? Did it require vulnerability that the group was not ready to offer? Write down your answer. Number 2. List your 3 worst-case scenarios. Every icebreaker attempt has a handful of ways it can go wrong. Write down the 3 most likely for this specific group. For example, the senior leader answers first and everyone just echoes her. Or, the question is too creative for a group that is already resistant to the meeting. Or, half the room does not have an answer because they are new. Do not be vague. Name the specific failure. Number 3. Rank them by likelihood. Look at your 3 scenarios and decide which one is most likely to happen with this group on this day. That is your primary threat. The pre-mortem is not about solving every possible problem. It is about solving the most probable one. Circle it. Number 4. Write your primary icebreaker question. Now, with your most likely failure scenario in front of you, write a question that sidesteps that problem. If the risk is that the question is too personal for a guarded group, write something low stakes and specific, something like, "What is one small thing that went well for you at work this week?" If the risk is that the group is too large for a round-the-room format, design a paired or written response instead. The question comes after the diagnosis, not before it. Number 5. Write one fallback question. This is the step most people skip, and it is the one that will save you most often. Your fallback is a simpler, low-stakes version of your primary question. If your primary question lands flat or generates silence, you move to this one without hesitation. A reliable fallback for almost any group. What is something you're looking forward to this week, inside or outside work? It is warm, easy to answer, and carries no social risk. Write it down. Know it by heart. Number 6. Rehearse your delivery once. Say both your primary question and your fallback out loud, a normal speaking pace, as if the room is in front of you. Notice where you hesitate. Notice whether your tone sounds genuinely curious or whether it sounds like you are reading from a list. Adjust. Confidence in the delivery matters as much as the quality of the question. As I write in Chapter 3 of Say It Right Every Time, confidence is not a magical feeling that descends upon you. It is the direct result of strategic preparation. Adapting the pre-mortem for remote teams. The conversation pre-mortem is even more valuable in remote settings because the cost of a failed icebreaker is higher. In person, a flat opener can be recovered through body language, humor, or physical movement. On a video call, silence is stark. Cameras stay off. People disengage, and you cannot see it happening. When you run the pre-mortem for a remote meeting, 2 of your worst-case scenarios should specifically address the medium. The first is low response. People do not answer at all, or they type one-word answers in the chat without speaking. The second is the camera off problem. You are asking a question to a grid of black squares, and you have no idea whether anyone is engaged. Your primary icebreaker for a remote group should be easy to answer in 15 seconds or less. Longer responses require people to feel comfortable on camera, and that comfort is not guaranteed early in a meeting. A good remote opener asks for something concrete and singular. What is the last thing you ate before this call? Or what tab have you had open all morning? These are low pressure, easy to answer, and they generate genuine laughter more reliably than questions about professional goals or values. Your fallback for a remote session should be deliverable in the chat. Something like, type one word in the chat that describes how your week is going so far. It requires no camera, no speech, and no vulnerability. It still creates a moment of shared connection, and it gives you something to respond to. The role of communication in meeting success covers the broader dynamics at play when remote meetings go wrong, and it pairs well with the pre-mortem approach. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last, and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. What goes wrong when people skip the pre-mortem? I have watched people attempt icebreakers hundreds of times, in boardrooms and community halls and video calls at 7 in the morning. The mistakes are consistent. The mistake: using a question that worked last time without adapting it. Why it happens? It saved time and felt safe. Past success felt like a reliable guide. What to do instead? Run step 1 of the pre-mortem every single time. The question that worked last Thursday with your regular team will not automatically work this Thursday with a mixed group of people who have never met. The mistake: choosing a question that is too creative or too personal for the group's comfort level. Why it happens. The person preparing it enjoyed the question and assumed others would too, or they found it on a list and did not think about who they were asking it to. What to do instead. Before you commit to a question, ask yourself whether the most guarded person in that room will be able to answer it without feeling exposed. If the answer is no, find a simpler question. How to deal with dominant voices in a discussion addresses what happens when one person's comfort runs the room. The mistake, having no fallback. Why it happens. People assume the primary question will work. Preparing a backup feels like admitting defeat in advance. What to do instead? Reframe the fallback as a sign of strength, not doubt. Every skilled practitioner has one ready. The fallback is not an admission that your opener might fail. It is proof that you prepared well enough to cover two outcomes instead of one. The mistake. Asking the icebreaker with an apologetic tone. Why it happens. Anticipatory anxiety makes people hedge. They say, I thought we might do a quick icebreaker. If that's okay, instead of simply asking the question with confidence. What to do instead. Ask the question directly. No preamble. No apology. Your tone tells the room how to receive it. A tentative delivery signals that the question is awkward. A clear, warm, direct delivery signals that it is safe. This is what I mean when I write that technique is the what, but confidence is the how. For more on starting difficult or high-tension conversations with confidence, how to start a difficult conversation, that's blocking your team's synergy covers the fuller picture of walking into a charged room prepared. Your pre-mortem checklist for every icebreaker. Use this before every meeting where you are responsible for opening the conversation. It takes under 15 minutes once you have practiced it a few times before you write a single question. Number 1. Who is in this group and how well do they know each other? Number 2. What is the energy likely to be? Resistant, tired, guarded, or open? Number 3. Are there any power dynamics or recent tensions I should know about? Number 4. What is the worst thing that could happen when I ask my opening question? Number 5. What is the most likely failure point for this specific group when writing your questions? Number 1. Does my primary question size fit the failure I identified? Number 2. Can the most guarded person in the room answer it without discomfort? Number 3. Is my fallback simpler and lower stakes than my primary? Number 4. Can both questions be answered in 30 seconds or less before you walk in? Number 1. Have I said both questions out loud at least once? Number 2. Does my delivery sound genuinely curious, or does it sound like I'm reading a script? Number 3. Do I know what I will say if I get silence after the first question? If you are running a high-stakes opener, such as a session with a new team or a large cross-functional group, also review the strong method framework that leaders can use to build synergy through every conversation. The pre-mortem and the strong method work well together. For sessions where tension is already present before the meeting begins, how to use the conversation pre-mortem to reduce tension before a high-stakes team discussion extends the same framework into more difficult territory. And if you're considering using humor as part of your warm-up, how humor can ease workplace tension when used right is worth reading before you decide. The ground beneath the good icebreaker. An icebreaker is a small thing on the surface. A question, 30 seconds, a moment before the real work begins. But I have watched those 30 seconds shape the entire tone of a two-hour meeting. I've seen a clumsy opener close people down so completely that the facilitator spent the next 90 minutes trying to recover what was lost in the first question. The conversation pre-mortem does not make you a better icebreaker because it gives you better questions. It makes you better because it makes you think about the specific people in front of you before you open your mouth. That shift from generic preparation to specific preparation is where real connection begins. You already have the courage to stand in front of a room and invite people in. Now you have the method to make that invitation land. Use the checklist, work the steps, and trust that preparation done before the moment is always easier than recovery done inside it. The best conversation pre-mortem icebreakers are the ones where nobody in the room ever suspects you prepared at all. Frequently asked questions. What is a conversation pre-mortem for icebreakers? A conversation pre-mortem for icebreakers is a short preparation exercise where you imagine the opening of your meeting has already gone badly, then work backwards to identify what caused it. You use those insights to prepare better openers, fallback questions, and responses before the moment arrives. How do you use a conversation pre-mortem to prepare icebreakers? Work through 5 steps before any meeting. Assess your group. List your 3 worst-case scenarios. Identify the most likely failure point. Prepare a primary icebreaker and at least one fallback, and rehearse your delivery once. The whole process takes under 15 minutes. Why do icebreakers fail in team meetings? Most icebreakers fail because the person running them chose a question that worked somewhere else without reading the specific room. The question may be too personal, too abstract, or too low energy for the group. Preparation specific to that group is what separates a flat opener from one that genuinely connects people. What makes a good icebreaker question for a difficult group? A good icebreaker for a difficult or resistant group is low stakes, specific, and easy to answer quickly. It should require no vulnerability from participants and carry no risk of embarrassment. A simple, concrete question like what someone worked on that week is far safer and more effective than a creative or personal prompt. How long should a conversation pre-mortem take before a meeting? For a standard team meeting, the pre-mortem takes 10 to 15 minutes. For a high-stakes event like an all-hands meeting or a cross-team session with people who do not know each other, allow up to 30 minutes. You are not over-preparing. You are replacing guesswork with a clear plan. Can you use a conversation pre-mortem for remote team icebreakers? Yes, and it is especially valuable for remote settings where silence lands harder and disengagement is invisible. The pre-mortem helps you anticipate low response rates, camera off participants, and the absence of social cues. Preparing a tight fallback prompt and a clear time limit for remote icebreakers prevents the most common remote meeting failures. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling books 8 Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.